Verkaufswesen hier in Potsdam bei der RT3 und RTC und im Stream. Ich darf euch jetzt den Talk von Biene und Sabine ankündigen zu Social Media Reaktionen und Konflikte auf diese die Reaktion auf Konflikte bei Social Media. Biene seht ihr schon, Sabine ist dann im Stream. Und wir haben jetzt eine ganz kleine Besonderheit. Wenn ihr Fragen habt, bitte direkt fragen. Im Raum laufe ich mit der Keule rum und gerne auch im Chat, weil die beiden gerne direkt auf euer Feedback eingehen wollen. Dann gebe ich an dich ab und wünsche viel Erfolg beim Talk.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. The talk will be in English. I'm Biene, and Sabina and I would like to welcome you to the talk Exploring Social Media Reactions to Conflict. What are we going to cover today? Brief overview of the conflict, the methods used, and some preliminary descriptive results. Using topic modeling, statistical machine learning technique to infer automatically topics from text and social network analysis, and we'll see if there is time, because it's really, really packed, what we want to do as further research and some code examples. That said, I would love to invite Sabina to talk about the background of the conflicts. We start with the Iranian protests. Sabina, you go.
Okay. Thank you so much, everybody, and thank you for... can you mute somehow, because I can hear myself? Biene?
I'm sorry?
You can mute something because I can hear myself?
Yeah, I hope so. No? Nothing.
Okay, can you hear me now? Yeah, okay. So thank you for having us. I'm going to start with a brief overview of the conflict that we are discussing in this paper. I assume that everybody in the audience is somewhat familiar with this conflict. I begin with Iran. And so in Iran, we have the type of conflict that essentially began as a domestic issue, right? It was the societal opposition of this absolute, almost absolute imposition of hijab on women. And what's important here is to know that while the conflict escalated in September 2022, it actually began a long time ago in 2014. So if you look at the slide, you can see somewhat detailed timeline of the conflict. Of course, I'm not going to go over the whole thing, but it is conflict that it's not something that began this year. The government of Iran reacted by sending armed forces to its own people. Numerous deaths followed in a very short period of time. The international community reacted, I would say, somewhat slow, considering the conflict began in 2014. It wasn't until 2022 when the UN called for observance of human rights, freedom of speech, and for the government to stop violence against its own people. The EU finally, in October or November 2022, imposed some sanctions, first to individuals, later to the country. And unfortunately, other than the numerous deaths that we saw, the only tangible result from this conflict was the dissolution of the Guidance Patrol, which is essentially the government organization which contributed to intensifying the conflict in 2022. I can go to the next slide. And I can't see the next slide, so I don't know which country that is.
Now we're going to hear about the Tigray civil conflict, or Ethiopia civil conflict.
Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and assume this is Yemen.
No, Tigray.
And if it's not, please go to the Yemen slide.
Okay. Good.
So in Yemen, we have a slightly different conflict than in Iran, right? It was one that Again, they'll begin in 2014 by a formation that's known as HOTI, which was opposing the Hadi regime. By 2015, it single-handedly announced the dissolution of parliament. The thing about this conflict is that it remained regional for a very long time. Again, a slow reaction on the part of the international community. By 2016, we saw the involvement of terrorist organizations such as ISIS and Al-Qaeda. In 2014, Obama, the American president, refused to engage in the conflict. Trump, after that, engaged, but countries within the region remained kind of heavily engaged. So Kuwait initiated talks, Saudi Arabia openly supported the government, and the UN again did not engage until, actively engage until 2022. Now in Tigray, we have again a different type of conflict. It began in November 2020, and essentially what happened is the Prime Minister Abiy ordered troops to the Tigray region because the Tigray region had held elections, which the government did not recognize. It intensified significantly faster than the rest of the conflicts we're talking about. 600 civilians were killed within a period of less than a month. That conflict also remained regional, but the involvement of countries in the region was a lot faster than in other conflicts. So there were tensions between Eritrea and Sudan because of a refugee issue. US got involved significantly faster, less than 5 months after the conflict began, and it called for immediate withdrawal of troops. So the UN also reacted less than 6 months after the conflict began. It issued a joint statement which expressed deep concern about violation of human rights. It's important here to notice that the UN framed its resolution as expressing deep concerns rather than calling for particular type of action. So there was an involvement, but not as strong as we would like it to be. The U.S. Secretary of State condemned the ethnic cleansing. And so in the period after that, numerous attempts at peace agreements and ceasefire followed. However, they were not as successful, again, as we want them to be. The situation in Ukraine, and I don't know which slide we're on, but okay. So the situation in Ukraine is very, very complicated, as we all probably know. Again, it's a very different type of conflict from what we're seeing in the other three places, because in the other three places, the conflict originates domestically, whereas the situation in Ukraine is one in which a different country bluntly violated the foundational norms of international relations, which are sovereignty and territorial integrity. Ukraine surprised a big part of the world by resisting the Russian attack. It's interesting here how Putin, the Russian president, originally justified his action with sort of a very particular reading of an interpretation of history in his speech that he gave in February 2022. And in that speech, essentially, he suggested that a country has the right to intervene in the domestic affairs of another country, which again is the fundamental principle of international relations, right? Not the sovereignty. No country can interfere in the affairs of another country. Here, we, in contrast to other countries, we have a little bit faster involvement of the international community. We know that sanctions followed almost immediately. But also, this conflict has significantly more implications, not only for the neighboring countries, which is the case in the other three conflicts, but globally, right? We have a gas crisis in Europe. We have food crisis in Africa, and so on and so forth. And so these conflicts are different, but despite that, they share some common characteristics. And so one of them is this slow or delayed reaction of the international community. complete inability of the parties to participate in successful and effective peace talks, right? In all of these conflicts, with the exception of Iran, we see attempts at peace talks, which are always unsuccessful. Also, in all of the conflicts, we have this appearance and disappearance of different, quick disappearance of different fractions and formations, which complicate the situation very much. And what we think is the most interesting about these conflicts is the way civilians participate in them, right? And that is through social media. And while we have such participation as of the Arab Spring in 2011, we now notice a different type of participation. In 2011, arguably, social media was used as an organizational tool, right? So it was used to bring the masses together and to organize the protests, but it wasn't something that inherently had the potential to change the nature of war and the nature of conflict. And what we notice right now is precisely that, right? Social media is used not only as an organizational tool, but it's used also as a tool to disseminate information, propaganda, to gather intelligence, to raise very quick and immediate awareness of violation of human rights. And so that in itself has the potential to change the very nature of war and conflict rather than to simply serve as a tool. Governments are also using it, right? In some of the conflicts, we notice the government cutting off of access to social media. In other places, we notice heavy censoring of content and so on and so forth. And so that brings a lot of questions, purely from political and international relations standpoint. War is a major concept, and so, you know, having a new element that can change that concept is something that it's definitely worth looking into. And so the use of social media brings a lot of questions, and they range between legal questions, ethical questions, privacy questions, and so forth, and so on and so forth. And so in this talk, we are trying to kind of shed light on some of them. We're in absolutely no way being as ambitious as to claim that we're answering any of them, not even some of them. But we are trying to descriptively show how social media is used. And once we have that information, potentially use it to answer more specific questions. And I'm going to stop here and turn it over to Bine.
Be the last of the much text on it. I'm sorry, Sabina, you can go on, or should I take over?
You're muted.
I'm sorry?
Thank you.
Let's go further, and starting with let's do this slide like this. Okay, then we'll see how it goes. Good, then let us go over the methods we used. Twitter as the data source, and we based our timelines on Wikipedia timelines, as you can find them online. In Twitter, we search for keywords. I ran for the Iranian timeline, Tigray for Ethiopian conflict timeline, Ukraine and Yemen, respectively. We use TranslatePy to translate, only English language tweets. The translation was done at this point only for Tigray and Yemen. And only English language tweets are at this point used for Iran and Ukraine because the data sets are immense, at least for Ukraine, at least for the start of the war. For example, for the 24th of February, we have like a million tweets for, I don't know, 10 hours something. We used NSScrape, and I would like to to mention the inherent bias that Twitter also presents in some at some point, which is to be answered because they show, at least on your timeline, only relevant and safe content as defined by Twitter. So what is topic modeling? It is actually pretty straightforward, and I'm sure you all know it. We have a certain text data corpus or text corpus, and we want to automatically infer certain topics based on coherence, for example, right? What are we using? We are using BERT topic. There are several approaches towards automatic topic modeling. For example, LDA is one, latent Dirichlet allocation. Would it be? It's a very common, very widely used approach, but it still has some, as all approaches have, has some minus points, right? And BERT topic is based on deep learning, is a deep learning approach based on a different deep learning model, which are also very widely used and very popular. For example, also a research done by Egger and Hume, I have to go to my speak title, and a topic modeling comparison they did in 2022, comparing also LDA with BERT topic, and for them BERT topic is actually also the first pick. Because, why? Because by embedding the documents, we're going to go over that in a second, you get much more rich contextual information from the documents. In our case, the documents is a document is a tweet, right? And for example, for LDA, the pre-processing step of the text would include that we remove stop words, we remove punctuation, we tokenize, lemmatize, and so on and so on, and then feed it into the algorithm. And here we feed the text as it is, besides of clearing some noise such as hyperlinks, to the to the sentence model to map the tweet to a numerical representation on a vector, basically, and thus creating the embeddings. So BERT topic is developed in 2020 by Martin Grotendorst, and really a basic overview of the steps is, as I mentioned, document embeddings, meaning map the text as we know it into numerical values. Then we have the a dimensionality reduction step and document clustering, meaning similar documents are grouped together, and then they use a class-based term frequency inverse document frequency metric, slightly modified for the clustering version and the topic version, to create topic-based data and representation. So, further, as I mentioned, there is no need of pre-processing of the data due to transformers. Perhaps, I'm sorry, one last sentence for transformers. For example, BERT, a bidirectional encoder representation, is a very nice model introduced in 2018 by Devlin. It's why it was a milestone as the transformer architecture itself. And it is general, so to say, natural language model to able to capture much meaning, information, and context, and from which you can fine-tune for specific tasks, for example, machine translation or question answering, and so on and so on. So it captures the meaning of the language, so to say, in a simple way. The good point of BERT topics, you have different models. You can use multilingual. We tried that. You can use different transform models from transform sentence transform or Hugging Face. You have like a lot of visualization techniques. You can predict. The one minus point is outliers, which is actually a minus and a plus sign, because you have an outlier words that do not belong to clustered topics, and thus it does not constrain them, or it is not a must for all the words to find a cluster, for example, as it with supervised with other clustering techniques as k-means. There are some problems, at least for me, with performance and computations, but it's due also to computational constraints and also time constraints for this talk. As we said earlier, these are preliminary descriptive results, right? So we did also social network analysis, but it's actually in the we'll go there. There should be a lot of further processing to do to be able to present meaningful results. But social network analysis is actually also speaking for itself. I think that you all know that, but a brief explanation. It's used for determining the information flow. It's based on graph theory, where the entities, in this case, for example, Twitter accounts or tweets, for example, also are the nodes, edges or links or interactions and relationships are representing the interaction between nodes, for example, follows or unfollows or replies and so on and so on. There are unipartite and multipartite graph. We are going with only unipartite, meaning the nodes or the entities are of one type. There is undirected versus directed graph. We are going with the directed graph because we want to explore the relationship of replies and retweets. The implementation is done in network X and Pivis. So this is a basic of some SNA metrics that will help us for further computation. The degree of the node, for example, the number of followers or the number of likes for a tweet. The weight of an age, for example, number of retweets or a number of likes. For example, there is the betweenness centrality and the closeness centrality to be able to infer automatically, computationally, much more information from the social network as such. And now we go into the results, and we start with Yemen. We picked one event and the timeline combined, as we are going to preliminary just compare the Wikipedia entry from the timeline with the topics that we've got. And for this one is the 21st January of this year, when an airstrike at a detention center in Sadar killed 82 people. The Saudi-led coalition first denied involvement. Nice. So let's delve into a little bit of the results. That's the problem. Wait a minute. So I hope then we can see a little bit more, right? Okay. So we have like a bar chart representation of different topics here, from topic 0 to topic 9. We will see the sizes of the topics later on. And for example, what is here is what we can see is topic 2 representing that. Here, topic 8 also has in itself the airstrike in it. On the other hand, consequences of the airstrike are also visible from the social media blackout, and internet connection was apparently down. We have here airstrikes caused, but we also have like some other team topics, sorry. For example, topic 6 with USA, Saudi Arabia war crime in crimes in Yemen. This is apparently a hashtag because at least for these results, I did not remove the hashtags to see what will happen. So this is an overview for the status. Oopsie, sorry. Now we go into the so-called hierarchical visualization. So let me. All right. What we see here is how different topics can be merged. For example, we see the first is. We've looked a little deeper into this topic. This is also a hashtag. We are Yemen and no US Yemen and so on. With Yemen can't win, stand up for, these are hashtags, and Yemen coalition countries and so on. They can be grouped together, for example. Why? It's a good question. But still, these are centered around Yemen as perhaps as a central topic. These are needed we can look further into them. We will do this briefly later on. So, and we see, for example, here let internet Saudi Arabia or kill airstrikes can be also combined, merged, and as a consequence of the airstrike, perhaps the internet airstrike can be merged as well. We here see some topic that can be merged under that. As an airstrike and the war actions. All right, so that's it for this now. what is done here, what we can see, is an distance map. For example, this is a visualization, so you can see different topics. We can also highlight them in different clusters where presumably they can also be put together. One should actually differentiate between the two techniques because this hierarchical clustering is done with an algorithm called HDB scan. Which clusters high-dimensional data. Before that, I talked about dimensionality reductions, which is done with this algorithm used for this representation called UMAP. But still, we can see, okay, perhaps we can either say we want to go with two topics. Perhaps I... forgot to mention that in a BERT topic, you can also actually define how many topics you want. We went with the default 10, but HDB scan actually leave outputs a certain number of topics that it deems feasible, and later on it reduces it to the given number you give to BERT topic. So what is actually here happening? There are two different clusters, or perhaps three, at least on this representation, so we can rerun the computation, right? Wait a minute. So this is also interesting in the sense of here for further analysis and further fine-tuning of the algorithm and the topics, one can hover over different documents in this kind, in this sense, tweets, and see was it all right to do that? Was it not all right to do that? Would we like to to fine-tune and merge some topics, or we don't want to do this, which is also interesting, the dispersion of the documents belonging to the same topic. We see actually here, for example, there is more or less in the visualization a clear cluster of one of the topics, which would be we are in Yemen, I think. And but still, you have another document which is actually far away from there. But still, semantically, does make sense in the vector space, or at least in this 2D representation, right? The next timeline we used is timeline combined. Meaning, as I said, Yemen and Tigray, there was not a lot of data, so that was possible to combine all of the tweets from the timeline. From the timeline we picked, there were 18 dates for that, to see at different times in the year, dispersed through the year from January till August, how the topic representation or the topics are clustered together and what we can find from that. So for example, and there is of course prevalent the warring and the combats going on, but we also see a specific perhaps event. We need to look further into it in seized carrying ship at, I think, in the 24th of, or the 22nd of January, the Houthi rebels, or prior, I'm sorry if I'm mistaken, seized a ship that was, they said, it was with military equipment. Saudi Arabia said no, it was with health equipment. There was also some, ship, perhaps Sabina can correct me here. But we need to look further into it to be able to defer what is actually going on here, right? The other things, as we see, further topics are with warring actions themselves, but still in different nuances. For example, airstrikes versus a month-long warring and. Different international topics, including Iraq, Libya, Palestine, Sudan crimes, which to be able to understand them, one should look into them further. Of course, what it is also nice to see how one could again. Again, perhaps structure anew, and combine topics. What we see here is that they are very dispersed, at least in the interoptic distance map, right? And meaning that actually the topics are in themselves beautifully contained, right? As in contrast to the single event, as we saw it prior, meaning it makes sense since we combine all the different dates dispersed through the whole year into one data set and try to find topics. For example, The question remains, for example, why would we want to merge topic one and topic two? As we can see, topic one is Syria, topic two is Yemen can't wait. So these are actually two very different meanings containing them. One could fine-tune the model, look into the different documentations for the topic itself to see if this is meaningful and are there some tweaking, if it needs some tweaking. For example, what we can see here, I'm sorry. As we saw now, Yemen can't wait. A hashtag team with an international politics team with God Yemen bless topic that can all together be merged in one. Of course, this is done with HDB scan algorithm, which also compares a similarity based on vector representation of classes, meaning classes will be topics. If we can see also here, which is also something to be acknowledged, it is a lot of it. It is very dispersed as a single topics that are not inside the cluster. So further analysis is needed. All right. Anytime, as we said, you can ask questions if you feel to. Then we go to Tigray, which is actually the choose one event versus a timeline event. The first event we choose is on the 7th of January, and the Wikipedia entry says that Ethiopia announced pardons for high-profile political prisoners, and also aid workers say an airstrike at a refugee camp killed 56 people. So let's see if this is represented in social media and how is it represented. So here we see the topic zero. These are representing the killed workers and the airstrike. We see humanitarian crisis depicted in topic one, genocide in topic five, topic six as well, hospital Reuters in topic seven. Again, the airstrike with refugees and Tigray, and political rebels released, referring to the pardon of the prisoners, but it's not too present. The airstrike is much more present in this in these topics, right? We can also see the hierarchical clustering for this. Clustering, meaning, for example, that rights subjected, human rights can be used merged in one topic. Here we have drones, which is actually a war team. This should be further looked into TPLF and TAFAR. I'm not sure what is this, to be able to see if this makes sense, for example, as topic five and topic six, and for example, topic zero and topic three, representing the killing of many people, one should again try and look further into the document representation of each topics. What we also can see here is topic zero is, if I'm not mistaken, again killed a refugee camp, but topic five, where is topic five? It's, for example, here we have like the rights, subject to human rights, atrocities, and so on. what we see, but in the hierarchical clustering, is that we can freely merge the topic 5 and 6, and we see the refugees camp and so on in another subcluster. So just at the end, they could be merged together, which is also represented actually here, right? So, all right, let's speed up a little bit. The topic chart.
Can I talk?
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Would you like to say something?
Yes. Do I say it? Oh, okay, you guys can hear me.
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So I think for the sake of time, maybe I should take the results on Ukraine and explain how we can, showing the results, I can explain how we can use this data that we have.
Yeah, sure.
Because I think we have 4 minutes, yeah.
No, we have 25 minutes left. Oh no, 20 minutes left, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we are just in time. I'm going to speed up a little bit, all right?
Okay.
All right. Which is actually, again, we did the timeline analysis on Tigray, and we see we see warring conflicts depicted. We see Tigray based team, if I may say so. Sorry for my English. And some other political topics referring to a project and action from the government. This, of course, poses the question of how well is it suited to try to infer topics from timelines during different dates dispersed throughout the year? We should look further into it, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to be able to get into this briefly, if this makes sense, or we should just stick to topic modeling for a day, for a specific event. Here it's very interesting, since we saw the bar chart. These are different topics, topics contained. I'm sorry. One side political, other side weapon of war, warring ethnicity, and so on and so on. But what we see here in this interoptic distance map is that they're clustered very, very tightly together. Meaning, I would infer, okay, let's do two topics, but it is not the right one. An iterative approach is needed to be able to look into the documents, to see the hierarchical clustering modeling, how similarities between class vectors are can be merged together. Does it make sense? Do we need to tweak further hyperparameters, even if we want to use different dimensionality reduction algorithm and not UMAP, and different high-dimensional clustering technique and not HDB scan, right? So there is no definite question to this, not the definite answer to this question, but one should see with time, with an iterative approach, what is the best to be seen. So now we are at Ukraine. We chose two events. One is the so-called grain deal on the 22nd of July, where UN and Turkey brokered a deal to free grain exports, and also US announced a new aid package. What we can also see here in the different topics on social media. On the one side, we have like the military aid in Ukraine, depicted here as an aid package. We see here clearly the grain deal depicted in topic two, and with different nuances. For example, here again, but actually the more ports will be more relevant word. What are these? These are the frequencies of the top 10 words. This is a visualization. So this should mean that ports was one of the defining words relevant to this topic. And for example, here the topic more concentrated on grain itself. If you would like to interrupt me and jump in, Sabina, please do, or should I just continue blabbering?
Can you hear me? Okay. I would like to talk a little bit about how we can use this data, but if you want to finish, then you can just refer it to me and I'll do it later.
Okay, at the end of the Ukraine results, we can do that? All right.
Yes.
Okay, I'll do that. We see how actually very nicely the subtopics can be and also content-wise can be merged together, as well as politics of war, I would say. Aid package, the Steam Chief run, I don't know what is this, one should look into the documents further. But here we've looked into, for example, topic 8, where you can go over the documents and see that this is actually about Kyiv Independent, which is a Ukrainian media outlet reporting about Ukraine and the war. And still, it is good to see how the topic of grain is actually clustered really, really nicely into a topic that can be further merged and be more generalized. So let us see if the UMA interoptic distance map is actually also in sync with the hierarchical clustering. Yes, it is, as we can see here. And the documents and topic visualization would be also nice to see, for example. For example, let us see what is this Steam Chief run. If I can hover. Right now, it doesn't make any sense on the topic representation, but it can be further tweaked in the sense of when one could looks into deep into the topic, for example, topic 4, and one either labels topics themselves as for the representation, or lets also automatic algorithm over that, for example, to avoid same words appearing in the different topics or used synonyms. And this, I have to look into my speak title. This is maximal marginal relevance, where you get a metric where you get the word that is actually similar to the topic, but dissimilar to the previous terms. So, briefly said, one should look further into it. Does it make sense? What is this for a topic? Because we have like Russia, Ukraine, list of events, also spy chief, but this doesn't tell us at all anything, right? We go into the Bucha massacre as corpses were found in Bucha from the Bucha massacre, and news broke out, at least 20 dead Ukrainian civilians. What we see here, what we see here is actually just topic 9 clearly depicting and using and saying about street massacre Ukraine. We have here topic two with genocide, and but Ukraine accuses Russia of genocide, but Russia says of course not. Why should they tell the truth? The other thing is what we see here is American-based politics with Hunter Biden, Ukraine, Putin, Clinton, China. I would say so. One should see the documents in themselves. We have here see also Bucha massacre, but actually the more relevant topic is the Antony Blinken. And of course we have like support and donations based topic and general war topics as we can as expected, right? Perhaps would you like to finish up the Ukraine topic, Sabina?
Yes, sure. So I lost visual on GT.
Oh, you don't know where we are?
But that's okay, yeah.
Should I put on specific slides?
We didn't talk about Iran.
All right.
But I wanted to just kind of summarize how we can use it.
Okay. I'll just. All right. Okay.
Hello.
Okay. I perhaps misunderstood. All right.
So I just wanted to kind of explain how we can use that information, because as you can see, it's a lot of information that is clustered together. And so what do we do with it, right? The so what question, why is that important? We can answer essentially a lot of smaller questions with that information. And one of the things, so for example, one of the things we can do is ask, based on the topics that were discussed, we can see what public opinion is and how people react to particular events. And that can be very useful to talk about different political concepts and processes that we observe. So one of the things, for example, is we know this in Iran. Can you go to Iran? Yeah, so we noticed in Iran that the protests against hijab began in 2014, right? But nothing really happened, right? There were small protests here and there, not really organized. There were, at some point, men were involved, right? It wasn't just women that are required to wear hijab. And so we see that the protests really intensify with the death of Mahsa Amini, and specifically with her funeral on September 17th, right? So that is a very good observation to base some type of answer on to the question, what is that really kind of wakes up civil society? Right? Why? What needs to happen for civil society to really get organized and to start acting in an organized and coherent manner towards making change? And so the way we can use that information is we can take this event, right, and look at the topics and how people and how civil society is reacting to these topics, specifically on them, right? So can you go to the hierarchical clustering on Iran?
My computer died. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so like if we can go there, we'll see it. But just as an example, oh, there it is. So if you go to the hierarchical clustering.
What you wanted me to say, we have also 5 minutes left.
Yeah, the hierarchical clustering of Iran. So anyhow, we can look at these events. We can see exactly what topics this funeral kind of brought up within with the public, and then dig in deeper in them, right? And so that would be information which will be very valuable to answer the question why some events but not others essentially wake up civil society and serve as a organizational impetus of civil society, right? And so once we have these topics, right, we can identify some of them that are relevant, and then we can dig in deeper into them, right? We can go to the tweets, we can do something more qualitative to see what the language exactly is. We can also run some sentiment analysis on it and so on and so forth. So what I wanted to clarify is that we're not going to take all these data and kind of merge it together and try to answer some like grandiose, huge questions, but the data in itself is very valuable because it can be used to answer a lot of questions. Right, in a very in a way that it's very innovative. Okay, that's why.
What you said here, for example, here for the 16th of the death of Mahsa Amini, we just see one topic covering more or less the death in morality police. But now on the funeral, which you referred to, we see social media exploding, right? I mean, improper murder, killed, brutality, and so on. So it's much more present in the social media landscape. And further, just two
right.
more.
And just one more thing. The other thing is that if we look carefully at the topics and the hierarchical clustering of the topics, we notice that at this point, the conflict is not only about hijab anymore, but it grows into something bigger that is, call for democracy, call for human rights, and so on and so forth, right? And that's very visible from the clustering. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Just two more things. We have to fine-tune the topic modeling as we look into topics over time issue. We should look further into the topic representation, different topic representations, and topic modeling techniques. And of course, the SNA, which we didn't cover, which is still in active work in progress. And of course, liver insights. So, cut.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to interrupt you, but
sorry.
We've got a question.
Yeah, sure.
Chat, and yeah, you probably mentioned it before. Are topics clustered because they are mentioned in close proximity or only when they are mentioned in the same statement? And that's a question I'm not sure.
I cannot understand. Can you read it again?
What is the point to cluster the terms?
May I read it myself? Because I cannot understand how it's the similarity done,
it's
or
easier to read. We are flexible. Yes.
You probably mentioned it before. Are topics clustered because they are mentioned in close proximity, or only when they are mentioned in the same statements? Okay. Right now I cannot understand really the question, but I'll try to answer. As I mentioned, the similarities is done based on a class-based or topic-wide numerical representation of the content in this topic, and in the similarity. In HDB scan, actually, this is done with HDB scan as the default. They are comparing, for example, two vectors. Let us see. For example, here. This will be a vector. Number three is a topic. We can read it. Number one is also a topic, but this will be a vector, and it will be compared with some similarity measure. For example, cosine similarity is used actually by UMAP because it deals with high dimensional data to reduce dimensions. And as the BERT topic people say, for example, in the HDB scan, due to the dimensionality reduction, for example, I think the default parameter there is 5. One can do this with Euclidean measures. So, I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, I think so. are there any questions in the room? Okay, maybe you can ask her later. And now I'll switch to.